Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Stella Bronson is here to begin a further chapter of Office Wife.
For a while, I'm going to be treading very carefully at Tressa de Bendigo and Company, because someone, and I think it's Marcia Pilgrim, is trying to put the skids under me. Whoever it is, they're being quite cagey. Because yesterday, Benny Puller offered me £20 a week and an executive position if I'd leave Jeff Pilgrim. Well, I'm not bad at my job, but I'm not that good. So I'm certain there's something behind it. Mind you, I could be wrong. But even so, I'm not leaving Jeff Pilgrim, not for £50 a week. You can call me a fool if you want to. So, I'm going to watch my step, but carefully. Jeff, do you want those air freight figures now?
No. I want you to sit down. Now, look here, Stella. This is serious. I want the absolute truth from you about the circumstances of that interstate trip of ours. I want to know how my arrangements came to be altered.
But you know all about it already.
I've heard three different stories, yours and two others. Now, exactly what happened, and I may as well warn you, your job here depends on it.
Jeff!
It's no use jeffing me. The moment I'd gone that day, you got in touch with Puller. Why?
How did you know that?
Never mind how I knew. Just tell me what you were up to.
I wanted to know. I had to know just why you didn't take me with you.
Weren't the reasons I gave you sufficient?
No, Jeff, they weren't. You didn't tell me the truth. I've been very loyal to you, Jeff. I think the least you can do is to be loyal to me in return. Yesterday, I turned down an offer of £20 a week to stay with you.
Well, thanks very much. But we're getting away from the point. You said you went to Puller to find out just why you'd been left behind. Well, what did Puller say?
He said you wanted me here to look after the Bates Hemingway account.
Well, isn't that what I told you?
Yes, but... Oh, well, fire me if you want to. You may as well know. I told Benny Puller that I thought you were keeping me here because of Marcia. Because Marcia had kicked up about us going north together. And when Puller heard that, he started bellowing and shouting and said I'd join you or he'd know the reason why.
I can check on this quite easily, you know.
I only wish you would. Ask Puller. Ask Mr. Fleming. Oh, Jeff, when will you stop thinking about trying to make up to you or something?
Oh, hang it all. Why can't I get some peace? All right, Stella, I'm sorry. I was wrong and I apologize. Am I forgiven?
Don't talk like a schoolboy. If you'd only tell me more. If only you'd take me right into your confidence about your difficulties at home as well as here at the office. I could be an enormous help, Jeff. Really, I could. Look, do you regard me as a human business machine or a person? I've got an awful lot of common sense, you know.
I'm only just beginning to realize that, Stella.
Well, stop holding me at arm's length. I'll never let you down in any way at all. I shouldn't say this, Jeff, but you're a very sweet person and I'm very fond of you.
I say, look here.
Oh, there you go again. I don't mean loving fond, I mean in a friendly way. I just hate to see you unhappy and worried like this.
Well, what with the office seething with talk and Angela Tennant poisoning Marcia's mind every time she sees her about that infernal fur coat.
Well, why don't you get the thing out of storage and give it to her? That'll make Angela look sick and she'd have to come crawling.
No. I'm an obstinate coat, Stella. I won't be coerced into doing a thing against my will by outside influences. That coat was bought for Marcia's Christmas present, and it stays in the Furrier's refrigerator till December the 24th. That's flat.
Marcia's going to be sore if Angela does spill the beans.
I'm having a word with Angela on the subject. But if she says another word about me, I'll wring her neck.
That's something I'd like to see. Anyway, we're friends, aren't we?
Yes, luckily for me. I'm a lucky beggar, Stella. Too lucky?
No. Just lucky enough.
Well then, Master, what's on your mind? Oh, does Jeff know you're lunching with me?
No, I didn't tell him.
Well, this is an out-of-the-way place. He needn't know if you don't want him to.
I don't.
All right, start confiding in Uncle Harry Palmer, the Dorothy Dix at Tressida Bendigo's. What's troubling you?
Stella Bronson?
I thought as much.
Most of the time, Harry, I think I'm just a silly suburban wife worrying about a too good-looking husband. Then something suddenly crops up that makes me wonder.
Such as what?
Such as Stella ringing Jeff late last night.
Oh, what did she want?
I don't know. I answered the phone and told her wrong number. She didn't call again.
Well, that wasn't wise. She probably recognized your voice and said, aha.
I don't care what she said. And then there's Angela Tennant. She's disgusted with Jeff over something. But do you think I can get any sense out of her? Now, Harry, you must know something. Is Jeff getting attached to Stella?
Hang it, darling. He's married to you.
Answer me.
Well, I wouldn't say he's getting attached to her, but he sees her all day and so forth. Mind you, Stella's got a wonderfully fitting way with her.
Do you like her?
Oh, my word, yes, she's good fun.
Have you taken a ride?
Mm-hmm.
Look, you see a lot of Angela. What's the matter with her?
Well, Pet, that's something only Angela can tell you.
Do you know?
Yes, I know.
Oh, then please, Harry, tell me what it is.
Mm-mm, I'm sorry.
Why won't you tell me?
I told you, darling, it's something only Angela Tennant can clear up.
Oh, what's the use? I thought you were a friend of mine, Harry. And here you are, not a scrap of help. If Jeff's playing up, why can't someone say so straight out? And if he's definitely not, why can't you tell me that? If only I could be sure one way or the other.
I am a friend of yours, Marcia, but you want to remember I'm a friend of Jeff's, too. I'm the last person you should come to.
Oh, I'm beginning to catch on. You're trying to tell me there's a lot you could say if you weren't a friend of Jeff's. Is that right?
Look, darling, I'll be late. Drink your coffee and let's make a move. Can you give me a lift some of the way?
Oh, I hate you, Harry. I come to you because I'm half frantic and now I'm in a worse quandary than ever, 10 times worse. Oh, let's get out of here, for heaven's sake. I'll go and powder my nose and meet you at the car.
Of course, you're in a quandary, Marcia, dear. That's the whole idea. Say nothing, suggest a lot. Poor old Jeffrey, when he gets home tonight. Well, thanks a lot for those letters, Barbara. I hope they haven't held you up with your own work, but with Tess being away...
It's quite all right, Mr. Palmer.
Funny, I'd never noticed before. In a demure little way, you're quite attractive, aren't you?
Do you want these in duplicate or triplicate, Mr. Palmer?
Well, don't be in such a hurry. Look, here's an idea. Why don't you and I tread a stately measure one night, say, down on Fig Tree Street?
No, thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Well, but why not? I haven't got warts or anything, have I?
I don't like those Fig Tree Street places, and I don't like going out with people from the office.
I don't know. Keep your eyes open, Barbara, and you'll notice it seems to be the done thing round here. I could name names for you.
If you mean Mr. Pilgrim and his secretary, I don't believe a word of it.
Who mentioned Jeff Pilgrim?
Well, you meant him, didn't you?
Snap my head off, there's a dear.
I think it's disgraceful. All the girls talk, and all the time it's nothing but tattling. It's a pity they don't watch you a little closer.
And what am I to understand by that, my little one?
I saw you with Mrs. Pilgrim in that Italian restaurant only today. You should be the last one to talk.
Am I being preached at?
I won't stay here. It's getting late. How do you want these letters?
Oh, duplicate, please.
Very well, Mr. Palmer. I'll have them ready first thing in the morning. Oh, how I hate that man. Posing as a friend of Mr. Pilgrim's. And always the first with a sly remark. I'd like to go to Mr. Pilgrim and tell him a thing or two. And maybe I will. Why can't everyone leave him and his wife alone? Jeff, darling, have you seen Angela lately?
Have I? We had the very deuce of an argument only the other day. She called me 6 different kinds of heel, and just as she was about to explain herself, in barged Palmer with Stella Bronson in tow. I walked out. But I'll see you again soon. Why?
Because if she doesn't tell me what she has against you soon, I'll have to stop seeing her altogether.
It's as bad as that, is it?
It's worrying me sick.
Well, don't let it, sweetheart. She thinks I'm doing you wrong with my honey-haired secretary. We should both be used to it by now. Angela's a fool. That's the kindest thing I can say about her.
Jeff, am I a very jealous woman?
Oh, just normally, so I expect.
What is jealousy, exactly?
Oh, jealousy, my dear, is resentment at being supplanted in the affections of another. From the Greek words for ardor and to boil or ferment.
Resentment at being supplanted in the affections of another?
Yes. That's why we sometimes teeter right on the edge of a proper bust-up. It's that element of resentment in you, Marcy. And it's ridiculous. You see, darling, no one will ever supplant you in my affections. Never, as long as I live. You must never be jealous, no matter what you hear or what you think or what you're told. You will never be supplanted, darling, because you're married to a man who's almost too fond of you for his own good.
Would you like me to stop seeing Angela Tennant?
No, no. I want you to see as much of her as you like. Because before long, she's going to change her tune and eat humble pie with a steam shovel.
I'll do anything you say, darling. From now on, I'm going to be a much better wife. I really am. Even where Stella Bronson's concerned.
Even about her?
Even about Stella Bronson.
When Marcia's like this, there's not a cloud in the sky. And I only hope she meant what she just said. But did she? Maybe I'm strung up tonight. But I thought I detected an undercurrent or something. Or maybe it's just my imagination. But then again, maybe it's not.
Invite you to listen again to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.